Okay, so welcome everybody. It's nice to see you all. It's nice that I can come together in this way. Before we turned on the recording, we were just talking about, here we are in June 2021, how are things going to unfold and how is IMC going to open? And I'll just say briefly, those conversations have started, but no decisions have been made, but definitely still talking about it. And then I also want to continue a little bit on this series. I've been doing some talks on loving kindness for difficult people. And in the beginning, when I was teaching happy hour, I didn't really talk a lot about for difficult persons, just recognizing that when there's a lot of loving kindness, when we practice it, maybe on retreat or maybe, regularly, I know some of you have been doing this every day for over a year now, then it just starts to permeate. Loving kindness just starts to permeate our relationships, whether we intentionally are doing this for difficult people or not, it just naturally goes that way. So I was kind of trusting that those people whose practice was, really kind of steeped in some loving kindness, they would just, when it's the time is right, it would arise with difficult people. But I also recognize that sometimes we feel like we want to have a little more direction, a little more support for working with difficult people. So I'll offer a few reflections or things to consider. Just this recognition that sometimes when there are difficult people in our lives, we go to extraordinary efforts or devise all these strategies in order to help keep them at a distance, these difficult people. Of course, it just makes perfect sense that we would do that. We want to avoid them or shut them out of our lives or not cross paths or really minimize the impact that they have on us. But even if we are successful in doing that, I think maybe by definition, some of difficult people, they haunt our thoughts a little bit. They may still occupy some of our minds, kind of the real estate in our thoughts. And we might, if we're agitated or upset about it, we might even find ourselves thinking more about the difficult people than we think about those that we love and care about. So part of loving kindness for difficult people is to help us find the freedom and the ease so that we don't feel like that we have to go to extraordinary lengths to protect ourselves from them or, to avoid them. At the same time, this kindness is about taking care of ourselves. So our finding more freedom, but not in a way that we feel unsafe, not in a way that feels that we have to compromise our values or our boundaries or anything like that. It's all about our finding more freedom, more openness in our hearts, and more freedom in our daily lives. So, in this way, kind of loving kindness for difficult people can help to soften some of the ways that the difficult people have put restrictions on our lives. And can we get rid of those restrictions? Because let's be honest, loving kindness for difficult people are not going to make them stop being difficult people in the sense that we're not going to change the patterns of their hearts, the patterns of their minds. Instead, we're hopefully going to find some more freedom ourselves, some more openness, some more spaciousness ourselves. So rather than being a magical solution, even though we all wish that there were a magical solution, of course, we're finding a way in which we feel less restricted. And then I always find myself saying this when I talk about doing loving kindness for a difficult person, is that when we are going to do resolve, when we have this resolve to send loving kindness to a difficult person, to not start with the most difficult. Just to start with somebody who's mildly bothersome and practice there and gain some facility and notice what our habits are when we bring to mind somebody who's bothersome. Do we automatically jump off and want to make ourselves feel better? Do we slide right into anger? Do we collapse around it and start feeling bad about ourselves that we can't do loving kindness for this bothersome person? So it's an opportunity for us to learn about ourselves. And as I said, loving kindness can be a lot about helping us to find more freedom, more ease of movement, or not feeling restricted or oppressed or burdened by these difficult people. So a real encouragement to practice with starting with the mildly bothersome and learn what we can about ourselves and how to do loving kindness here in a way in which we don't slide into overwhelm or slide into anger. But as I spoke about on Tuesday, anger may arise. And if so, I'll just say briefly, there's a few things we might do. One is to switch over to mindfulness and just notice and be with the experience of anger and maybe learn about ourselves, about how we work with anger. Or alternatively, maybe go back to doing loving kindness for the lovable person, where it's easy and kind of fill ourselves up, so to speak, with loving kindness again. Or a third option, maybe do some compassion for ourselves, because at that moment when we're feeling anger, we are feeling agitated and unsettled and not spacious and filled with ease. So maybe we'll have some compassion for ourselves. So, and always maybe say, I'll say a fourth thing, to open our eyes, that can kind of like shift and disrupt the momentum that might be there. Okay, so just a little bit about loving kindness for difficult persons. And some of you know on Tuesday, my computer had a little bit of difficulty at the end. But this time, assuming my computer will behave itself, I'd also like to offer some phrases for difficult people. Maybe we might want to shift the phrases a little bit. So I'll offer those when we get there. Okay, so to begin our meditation practice, we'll begin with a little bit of mindfulness. So taking an alert posture, an upright posture, a posture that reflects both our intention to have some clarity, to be present, to be intentional with how we use our mind, and a posture that doesn't have a stiffness or a straining, but instead has ease. So both of these qualities, an intentionality and ease. And just feeling, what does it feel like to be in this posture at this moment? To sit and know you're sitting. You might notice there are areas of the body that has some tension, some tightness. Can you bring some kind, warm-hearted awareness to those areas of the body? It might be that under the flashlight, so to speak, of warm awareness, there can be some relaxing, some letting go. And maybe not, too. Maybe the uncomfortable sensation, the tightness remains. And if so, can we still have this warm-hearted attention? And connecting with what we're sitting on. Feeling grounded, present. And feeling the sensations of breathing, the chest moving, the abdomen moving. Maybe the feeling of air going in and out of the nose. Noticing the inhales, the exhales. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being. It's always helpful to start with a lovable being where it's uncomplicated and more accessible to tune into a feeling of warmth and care. This lovable being might be an imaginary kitten, puppies, baby. Might be somebody you have a relationship with, a loving, uncomplicated relationship. It might be somebody that you know about, that you appreciate deeply, respect. Maybe their writings or their teachings have really touched you. Can you connect with this lovable being? and to help support our connection and our intention of cultivating loving kindness, we can say these phrases while keeping the lovable being in mind. May you be saved. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be saved. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Sometimes there's a feeling of warm-heartedness, like a physical feeling of warmth in the heart center. Or maybe just a general feeling of ease, maybe some softness in the belly that's associated with loving kindness. If so, if you have those experiences, allow them to be a support for your loving kindness practice. It's perfectly fine if they're not there, but if they are, somehow include that in the experience of loving kindness, the wishing of goodwill. and then to expand our loving kindness to include ourselves. It's always a good idea to do some loving kindness for ourselves. So many of us are not kind to ourselves, and our inner critic sometimes getting loud. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Connecting to how it feels to sit here at this moment, or connecting to an image of yourself, either an image how you are now, or maybe from your childhood. Whichever feels uncomplicated. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Maybe the phrases coincide with an exhale of a certain rhythm. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then to extend this loving kindness to a mildly bothersome person, somebody with whom we have some difficulty, not the most difficult person that we know, not the most troubling relationship we have, somebody who's mildly troublesome, bothersome, irksome. Bring them to mind. And we can use the same phrases as we've been using. And here I'll offer some alternative phrases. And you're welcome to modify them if it feels particularly for a troublesome person, if it feels a little more authentic, a little more resonance, to use some different words. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you have happiness and the causes of happiness, such as clarity and kindness. May you be free of suffering and the causes of suffering, such as ill will and envy. May you be free of anger and bitterness. There's a lot of words here. No need to get all the words. I'll repeat them. But maybe just work with what resonates with you the most right now. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you have happiness and the causes of happiness, such as clarity and kindness. May you be free of suffering and the causes of suffering, such as ill will and envy. May you be free of anger and bitterness. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you have happiness and the causes of happiness, such as clarity and kindness. May you be free of suffering and the causes of suffering, such as ill will and envy. May you be free of anger and bitterness. Maybe reconnecting with this bothersome person. Either visually or whatever way makes sense for you. May you have happiness and the causes of happiness, such as clarity and kindness. May you be free of suffering and the causes of suffering, such as ill will and envy. And then to end this meditation, feeling your feet on the ground, pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So this idea of maybe with a difficult person, we use different phrases to be filled with loving kindness or to have clarity, which is a source of support of happiness, have kindness, either to have other people be kind to them or for them to be kind to others, connected to happiness and free from suffering, such as ill will and envy and anger and bitterness. So it's something to explore, but with, or maybe even use some of these phrases, which are Sharon Salzberg's phrases. Use them with the non-difficult, everybody, all, not just the difficult person, or maybe use them just for the difficult person. Maybe it's a little, it's a way in that might be a support. But it can sometimes be difficult to do loving kindness for a difficult person. So now I'd like to provide an opportunity for you guys to talk about these alternative phrases and or what is it like to do loving kindness for a difficult people, for a difficult persons? Do you find that you're like, the mind doesn't really want to do it, and so you either get lost in thought, or maybe you slip into some ill will, or just rehashing some memories, perhaps, with this difficult person, why they're difficult, or something like this. To let's see here, trying to. Here we go. Oops. Okay. So, we can have it, can go either in the order, how about we go in the order by the first digit of the house number, your house number. So if you're on 100 Main Street, you would go first. And let's meet for like 12 minutes or maybe 11 minutes. Okay, here we go. So welcome back. Are there some comments or questions about using these different phrases for difficult people or something we'd like to share? Yes, Susan.
I just, the breakout group did it for me. We had an opportunity for noble silence together, and it's just being with sincere practitioners felt so good. So then I just was sending them all the prayers I could think of. And so finally, my heart's open and my nervous system is regulated. So thank you.
Yeah. It's such a beautiful, beautiful community, right? Of practitioners that come together during happy hour. It's a wonderful thing. Yes, Jerry.
One of the members of the group mentioned that it has more to do, like we were talking, I was at this meeting virtually in Boston, and they had a movie from Cleveland Clinic showing these people, and they said, passing by in the hall, tumors benign, tumors malignant, just signed DNR. telling us that we didn't know what was going on in people's heads, even though there were all these people in the hospital, so to pay attention to that. But in some ways, the insight from the group was that, well, maybe it doesn't matter what's going on in their head. It's more what's going on in our head, and the gift of wishing them well has less to do with, you know, whether they're in a bad mood or whatever, but it's more the gift that we're giving to them is what we're giving, and what's going on in their head, we don't know, but that's more, the gift is more about what we're doing rather than what is going on in their mind. And that was very helpful.
Yeah, yeah. And as I mentioned near the beginning, is for us to be able to find freedom around the difficult people. And sometimes you're talking about as a gift, but also that's a gift often is maybe an expression of when we do have some ease, when we do have some sense of well-being. So, of course, there's a wish that we could make the difficult people be different or understand them better or something, but it's not necessarily what's going to happen. Okay, so we're at the top of the hour. So with a deep bow of appreciation for you all, for your practice, it's so beautiful. This is what the world needs. And maybe we can unmute ourselves and say goodbye. So, bye-bye, and thank you.
Thank you,
Diana.
Thank you,
Diana.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Good evening.
Thank you.